I want to add my kudos to all of you early risers. Way to go. Way to be out and about early this morning. All right, we're in a series called Jesus. Today's theme and title is A Servant. Jesus, a servant. Jesus, a servant. I think no other name or quality or essence of Jesus is more confounding to us than this one. Jesus, servant. Not just a servant, a humble servant. Jesus, King of Kings, Jesus, Lord of Lords, Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, Son of Man, Jesus, Prophet, Jesus, Healer, Jesus, Mighty Warrior. Those we say, yeah. Jesus, Servant. You know, Jesus, a servant, wasn't some kind of last minute thought that God the Father had or an attempt to be edgy and relevant and catch your attention. Jesus, a humble servant, wasn't focus grouped to determine that it would find a place in our hearts. Jesus, a servant, was who God determined him to be from all time. Here's a prophetic declaration in Isaiah 42. It says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Behold, my servant, look at my servant and keep looking at him. See and keep seeing who he is, a servant." So as we study Jesus as a servant today, we're fulfilling prophetic scripture. We're looking and we're seeing at what it means for Jesus to be a servant. So we're beholding who he is this morning. So that's a prophetic word about Jesus. Now let's look at what Jesus says about himself. This is Mark 10. I'm going to read verses 35 through 45. You can follow along or just listen. Mark 10. Verse 35 and following. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" I love that. Can't you imagine your kids coming up and say, "Dad, Mom, do for me whatever I ask." Good one. "Do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right and left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the other 10 heard this, they became indignant with James and John. This is like a perfect family. Jesus called them and together said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray. Lord, let your word right now, as we've read it, be more than just words. Make your word alive in our hearts. We want to know you. We want to be transformed by you. We want to be like you, Jesus. I pray in your name. Amen. Jesus declares himself to be a servant in this passage, and he says, I didn't come to be served by you all, I came to serve you. That is astounding. So here's my big idea for today. Today, we're learning Jesus served, and so we do too. Jesus served, so we do too. Right before James and John make this amazing request of Jesus, Jesus was telling his disciples, for the third time, he's telling them, I am going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. So, what James and John said is even more astounding. Jesus just lays it out there. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised on the third day. And they chime right up. Would you do for us whatever we ask? Would you let us be in charge when you leave? That's what they're asking. Jesus says, you don't understand what you're really asking. Jesus uses poetic and metaphoric language. He said, can you drink from the cup I'm drinking? Can you be baptized? His poetic and metaphoric language means, can you lay your life down and serve everyone else to the point of death like I'm about to do? And they're like, sure. Because they're still on this, I want to be in charge kick. And he says, you don't really understand what you're asking, but because you're following me, you will do the very thing I'm doing. You will lay your life down. You will suffer for my name. You will serve. You will follow in my footsteps, Jesus is saying. He says, worldly leaders exert rule and authority over people. And I know, Jesus is saying, I know you're asking for power and authority. You want position, but what I'm going to give you is who I am, and you're going to follow in my footsteps, and you're going to serve. Jesus served, so we do too. We've looked at prophecy declaring him a servant. We've looked at Jesus telling his disciples and us that he's a servant. Now let's observe Jesus serving. This is John chapter 13. This is a long text, so just listen. This is an amazing story. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus served, so we do too. Jesus knew who he was. He was Son of God. He was teacher. He was Lord. He was King. And he knew he had all authority, it says. And he knew he was going to the Father. So he loved God. He loved his disciples. And he served God. And he served his disciples. And he washed their feet. Servants serve. They do what the master asks them to do. Servants serve. It's what they do. It's what we do, church. All servants serve, but not all servants love. It is possible to serve without loving. But if you love the Lord, your God, you will serve. Jesus understood he was a servant, and he served. And Jesus loved the Father, and he loved us. And he gave us an example and said, you're going to be blessed if you do what I'm doing. We honestly struggle like Peter did. Jesus said two times in that passage, do you understand what I'm doing? And I think the obvious answer is no. We don't really get it all. We struggle like Peter did. Perhaps we struggle like the guys in that room did because we forgot something. They got the room ready, they had the dinner ready, but no one had arranged for a servant to wash feet, because that's what a servant would typically do at a gathering like that. So maybe they were embarrassed that they forgot, and so the Lord jumped to what one of them should have obviously done. Or perhaps we struggle like Peter because what we really want is a mighty God who wields his power and authority and crushes our enemy, and we don't want a God who gets down in the dirt with us and touches our filthiness. There isn't anything more humbling. Foot washing is a particularly humbling activity. Some of you have done of it. Some of you can't even imagine doing it. It's actually easier to wash someone's feet than to have your feet washed. It's a really intimate, kind of undoing thing. Jesus, in this passage, is giving us an example of humbly getting down, taking a low position, and serving people where they're at. You'll be blessed if you obey and serve one another. As servants, we will certainly experience hardship. Serving isn't always easy. We'll lay our lives down for others, just like Jesus did. We no longer live for ourselves, but for Jesus and for his body. If we're going to follow Jesus, we are his servant. He's our master. And we're going to do what he does, and we're going to do what he asks. Jesus said in other gospel, he said, no greater love has anyone than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. It takes great love to continue serving and putting others ahead of yourself. It does. We can serve out of obligation or duty for a moment, maybe even for a few months. Some amazing people in our midst can serve out of duty and obligation for years. But eventually, we'll run out of capacity to do that. But love is the motor that keeps our serving continuing. So, what now? What about us? We've seen Jesus prophetically declared as a servant. We've seen him declare himself, I came not to be served, but to serve. And then we've seen him model what serving looks like. So, what about us? Well, we serve too. Philippians 2. I want us to look at this verse and go a little deeper. Philippians 2, verses 2 through 8. I think these are going to be on the screen for you if you want to follow along. Paul is writing to some Christian believers. He says, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. That is underlinable. Verse 5 is a winner. You must have the same attitude that Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Church, let's be like Jesus. Let's work together. Don't be selfish. Let's be humble. Let's have the same attitude and the mindset that he did. He gave up his privilege and he took the low position of a servant and he humbly served. Serving is a spiritual thing for sure, but it's also incredibly practical. Serving is as simple as speaking an encouraging word to someone. It's as simple as picking up the phone and making a call that comes at just the right time and encourages. Serving is doing all the kinds of lawn work that we just heard about in our announcements. Serving is shoveling snow. It's cooking a meal and taking it to somebody. It's cleaning the sanctuary on the health team before and after service. It's coming early on the live tech team and getting everything ready for the live stream. It's all kinds of practical things. There's every Sunday as we gather for our 2 English services and 1 Spanish service, we have hundreds of people who serve every Sunday as we gather together. Jesus served, so we do too. So I want to take a few minutes and look a little deeper into serving God and one another. It says, don't be selfish, be humble. Have the attitude of Jesus. I said it earlier, it's possible to serve without loving someone, but it is impossible to love someone and not serve them. And I want you to know that there are all kinds of attitudes and motives that are in our hearts at any given time. And when we're serving, we might be serving out of a good attitude or a good motive, and we might be serving in a really stinky place. And the amazing thing about serving is it has this amazing capacity to reveal what's going on in our hearts. I want to tell a little story. I was taking a good long walk earlier this week, and I was reflecting on serving, and I was like, Lord, give me a really good story. And I remembered something that happened back when I was in college. And so I was in a training program, a discipleship training program, and we had a really regimented schedule and had to work during the day, had to serve meals, lived in community. Guy's house had 30-some guys in it, lady's house the same. We had evening meetings, Bible teaching in the evening, street evangelism in the evening, small group. We had this, Your schedule was blocked out. And on Saturday, for about 5 hours, you had some free time. And that was when you did your laundry. Unless you didn't care what you smelled like, and then, you know, you didn't. But so really regimented schedule. And so one evening, we had a guest speaker, and the director of the program was sitting with the guest speaker, and part of the regimen was my small group was serving the meal that night. So we had served a whole group of 70-some people, and then we were in the kitchen cleaning up, and the guest speaker and the director of the program were having coffee and enjoying coffee. And I told the team, hey, go get yourself ready for the evening meeting that this speaker is going to speak at. I'll take care of cleaning up the last dishes. So the speaker and director, they're enjoying coffee, and they finish up their meal and their coffee, and they go right from the meeting room downstairs to the big room where we had our meetings, and the meeting began. So I finished putting everything away, you know, the Hobart commercial dishwasher, got everything all done in the kitchen, came down, and I came into the meeting about 2 songs into worship. And so I was late. because I'd served. So one of the other leaders in the program noticed my lateness, and they had a whole thing of keeping track of stuff. And what happens when you were late? Tardiness meant a demerit, and tardiness meant that you didn't get your free time on Saturday, you served. Now everybody's looking at me like, you signed up for this? And so I was doing service. I was doing KP. I was doing service projects on Saturday during my free time because I was late to a meeting because I was serving. And so as I was walking and reflecting on this story, and I was thinking, Lord, why am I telling this story? How's this going to help people? Because honestly, I'm still getting over it. Can you tell? The injustice, the offense. I remember vividly that work project on Saturday grumbling about the ignorant leaders of this program who would give somebody a service project for serving. And I vowed, I don't know how many vows I made in my heart that afternoon serving, but I remember saying, if I ever lead people, I will not do ignorant stuff like they're doing to me. Now, do you notice any pride or arrogance in those thoughts? And I felt like the Lord is amazing. I've shared pretty openly over the last year that two things that God's really been going to work on in my heart at deeper levels is selfishness and pride. And I've shared how God's revealed that and touched that in different ways. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Merle, I was revealing pride in your heart all those years ago. And I was ready to do some wonderful healing in your life, but you weren't ready. But that's okay. You seem ready now. In that whole aspect of serving, God was revealing some pretty arrogance in my life. And I was busy holding on to it and being offended rather than learning what he set up. I won't give God credit for setting up all those circumstances. I think God is the most amazing upcycle king in the world. He will use everything in our lives to work out his good purpose. He'll use anything. He'll use hurt. He'll use offense. He'll use injustice. He will use anything available in our lives to make his perfect transforming will accomplished in us if we'll embrace it. And if we won't, it's okay. He's got all the time in the world. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Merle, I was ready to change your heart and deal with some things years ago, but you just weren't ready. But here I am ready. And I feel like serving has this amazing revelatory capacity to show us what's in our heart. I have a slide I want to show. This slide means a lot to me. Obviously, I created it. Now, it was inspired by that Johari window. You got that in college, right? Where you can, there's things that are known to me and known to others, and it's this whole revelation. Here's how serving brings revelation. So I have on the column there that there's times when I'm willing, there's times when I'm unwilling, there's things that God asks, there's things that others ask, and see how in those different windows it has different kinds of responses. I loved making this thing because God asks is in quotes. Do you know when God asks, it's really not a question? He doesn't make us do anything, but he's telling us what to do if we'll listen. So when we willingly obey, we are joyful and blessed. He said that. Blessed are you when you do, when you serve, like I did. Sometimes other people ask us, and we can cooperate with that, and it brings unity, and it also encourages and brings joy. If I'm unwilling when God asks, it's called disobedience. It's called sin. And I've got two reasons why I disobey. Those are the prominent things going on in my life. I won't project that on you. You could just be a control freak. We got all kinds of sin issues, right? I got all kinds of sin. You know, some of you are thinking, how did this guy become lead pastor of Greg Custer Church? Exactly. What is his qualifications? And then sometimes we're asked to serve and we're not willing. And what it creates is division, offense, all kinds of other things. All right. If we dodge or avoid what Jesus is teaching us, it's not a problem for him. He has all the time in the world. He will lovingly bring us back to that again. Because he loves us too much to leave us stuck in our junk. All right. I think we should be finishing up. I have this in my notes, and it's kind of like a question mark. I'm just going to go for it. Our culture is particularly divisive lately. Yeah? The pandemic has worn us all down, kind of has exposed raw nerves everywhere. Christians haven't seemed to be very immune to it either. We're just as polarized and divided as the culture is. So there's been this premise, this storyline that's been pushed in Christianity this past year, and it leaves us with just two options. Either wearing a mask is walking in fear, or wearing a mask is allowing the government to steal your religious freedom. That's the polar, that's the things that have been said to us all over. That's the line we're being fed. You're either walking in fear, or you're letting your freedom of religion be taken from you. I want to humbly submit there really is a third option. Wearing a mask can be done in faith, it can be done in freedom, it can be done in humility, showing love, and serving others who might be vulnerable. That might be what's really going on. So quiet in here. Eventually masks aren't going to be a thing. But between here and there, it's probably going to be a little messy, and we're going to have to figure out how and when and what. And we can get all offended all over again. And we can buy whatever storyline the culture's throwing at us, whatever their agenda is. But I want you to know that in Christ, we can lay our freedom down and serve one another. But if we aren't in Christ, good luck. Please allow the Lord to reveal and transform the attitudes in our heart. I think it really matters that we serve, because servants serve. But I think God cares even more about what's in our hearts as we're doing what he asks us to do. He wants us to serve out an overflow of love and humility. Galatians says it really, really well. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Go ahead and throw that last slide up. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Let's have the worship team come up. I want us to sing an old hymn. This will be our closing. So there's that verse. You have been called to live in freedom, Paul says. Don't use your freedom to satisfy. This is Merle's paraphrase. Merle, don't use your freedom in Christ to satisfy more selfishness and pride. Use your freedom to serve and love others. So I want to kind of conclude this message on serving. Jesus is a servant. Jesus came to serve. And so we're going to serve too. We're going to lay our lives down for one another So this hymn is a bit of a prayer and a benediction. I'll come and give an official benediction here in a moment, but let's sing. And can we just do the last verse like two times? See, they serve. Amazing. All right. Why don't you stand? Let's sing this last verse of this hymn a few times. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together in your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for teaching, for demonstrating to us what it is to be a servant. In your mercy, please reveal any areas of control or pride or selfishness that hinder us from loving you and serving you and one another. Pray that you would give us faith and courage to say yes to you, whatever you ask. Now may the God of peace make us holy in every way, and may our whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless in you, Christ Jesus. We pray all this in the power and in the name of Jesus, our servant, our King. Amen. I love you, church. You're dismissed to go. If anybody needs prayer or wants prayer for anything, just come on up and a few of our ministry team members will be available and pray with you. You're dismissed to go and serve.